the church. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 as we continue to speak on the series on the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, as we've learned in our past messages, the blood of Jesus Christ has spoken to God. The blood of Christ, that means Jesus Christ giving up his life and in death, satisfied God's holiness and his righteousness. And we spent several weeks, sermons, on God and his holiness and righteousness and the atonement that Jesus Christ has made. God dealt with our sin through a substitute. God's wrath to sin was removed. Atonement was made. We know the atonement spoke to God, and we know Jesus was truly the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world because God raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead was proof that atonement was accepted by God. Jesus Christ, God's Son, did accomplish the work the Father gave him to do. Now, in this series of sermons, the blood of Christ speaks to you. How? Now, through the blood of Jesus, God's Son, the holy, righteous God is going to speak to us through the blood. Through the blood of Christ, God has an announcement to make to all who are sinners, like you and me. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. In this verse, we learn about ourselves, don't we? Look at some adjectives that Paul uses to describe us. Look at verse 6. While we were still helpless. Helpless. How different that is when the world today diagnoses itself, looks at itself. Do people feel helpless? No, men are proud. What counsel are people given today? It's very easy. Just look within yourself. Look within your heart and it will guide you. No one is helpless. You just have to look within yourself. But Paul says we're all helpless before God. We're helpless. What other word does he use? At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We learn about ourselves. We learn we're helpless, but we also learn we're ungodly. And in this verse, we learn about God. God, who is love, demonstrates his love. How much he loves us by sending his Son to die for us. Christ giving up his life and death for us is called the blood of Christ. And through the blood of Christ, a demonstration of God's love, God speaks a message to us. And get what Paul says there in Romans in verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. Justified by his blood. What in the world is this message that God is speaking to us through the blood when he says we are justified through the blood of Christ? What does that mean? Well, to help us understand justification, we have to start someplace, and we're going to start with sin. Sin. The Bible has a lot to say about sin. It says that sin is universal. The Bible teaches that sin is universal in Romans 3:10-12. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. The prophet Isaiah says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. That's God's view of the world. There is none righteous, no, not one. Without Christ, you and I, there's none righteous. Every man, every woman, every child on the face of the earth, on the face of this earth, no matter how old or how young, none of us are righteous. We are all sin. Sin is universal. It touches every culture, every people, every child, every adult. Sin is also all pervasive. What do I mean by that? Sin is not only universal, but it's all pervasive. This means that every aspect of who you are as a person is affected by sin. You said, wow, that's pretty hard, but it's true. Did you know that your mind is affected by sin? 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You have a darkened mind. Our will, the place where we make decisions and decide things, is affected by sin. It says in Genesis 6:5, the Lord looked and saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I don't know if we get that or not. The God of creation, he looks down on the earth and he looks down over at Providence right now. And he looks at all peoples of all nations. He looks at little babies and little children. He looks at old gray hairs like me and like my brother. From the old to the young, every tribe, every kindred, every people. And God's eye pierces us all. He looks beyond our surface. He looks beyond who we are outwardly. And he looks deep within us. And he says, my eye, I see man, and their thoughts and intent run evil continually. Sin is all pervasive. It sweeps through us. Sin is deceitful. Sin is universal. Sin is all pervasive. Sin is deceitful. Hebrews 3:13. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Paul says in Romans, professing to be wise, they became fools. Sin deceives us, and in deceiving us, sin hardens us. The same verse. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And sin is defiling. Mark 7:20-23, Jesus said, and he was saying, that which proceeds out of a man, that is what defiles a man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile a man. Sin. It's universal. It's pervasive. It's deceitful. It's hardening. It's defiling. Charles Leader says, sin is not trifle. Sin is not cute. Sin is not funny. Sin is exceedingly wicked and perverse. It is utterly sinful. All sin is twisted, ugly, and vile. We should be shocked at how wicked men and women are. And we should be shocked at how callous we have become to that wickedness. There's two sides to man's sin problem. There's an internal and an external situation when it comes to sin. The internal problem is that we have a bad heart. That's true. We have a bad heart. Jesus himself taught us that, didn't he? We just read from what Jesus said in Mark 7:20-23. That which proceeds out of the man, that which defiles him, from within, out of the heart of men, come the things that defile us. It's an internal problem, but it's also an external problem. Not only do we have a bad heart, but all of us have a bad record. A bad record before God. In the eyes of God, when God uses, as a judge, he uses his standard, his law, that all of us are accountable to. In the eyes of God's law, whether you feel guilty or not, your record is you are guilty. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because you have a bad record in the eyes of God, you stand condemned. Under the law of God, all your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins cry out for something. They cry out for the penalty to be paid and justice to be satisfied. We have a bad record. And you know what? Sadly, if you're not a Christian today, you don't even care. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 1, 28-32. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unlovingly, unmerciful. You won't hear that on the Oprah Winfrey Show, all right? Or Dr. Phil. And although they know the ordinance of God, get this, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. We not only have a bad record, we have a bad attitude. We push God away, and we laugh at sin, and we approve those who do it. Sin. Universal. All-pervasive, deceitful, hardening, defiling. It's in us, it's in our heart, and our record before God condemns us. Can a man be right with God? Can anyone be right with God when those statements and that biblical evaluation of who we are is true? Can we be justified? Can we be declared in the right with God? How can an absolute just and righteous judge ever declare righteous those where sin is universal, all-pervasive, deceitful, hardening, mockers of God, and approve those who do evil? The ungodly. And we have a judge who says, you're in the right. God himself said to his judges in the Old Testament, he who justifies the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. He who justifies the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Actually, the full quote is, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous is an abomination of the Lord. But he who condemns the wicked is, he who justifies the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. And yet, here's, listen, the Romans 4, 5. But to the one who does not work, but believe in him who justifies the ungodly. Whoa, just a moment. God says to his judges, he who justifies the wicked, the ungodly, is an abomination to him. And Paul says in the gospel, we look to a God who justifies the ungodly. What is justification? It's an announcement from God. It's a declaration from God, the judge. a charge is brought against you. We just read a record from the scripture of who you are. It's brought against you. And the judge, God, our creator, our judge, examines it all. If the evidence proves you are guilty, then the judge is to condemn you for your crimes, right? If you are found innocent of the charges, then the judge will declare you in the right. And you are justified. You are free to go. There are no charges against you any longer. You are free from the judgment of God. You are free from condemnation. Now, if the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and you have seen just a little bit of who God is and who you are and just how bad your sin problem is, you know you deserve God's punishment. You know that. You know God is right when he says all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. You know you are guilty? You do. And you know there is a God, and you know that you are far from him, and that you are in trouble. Can I ever be right with this God? With the record that I have, with the heart that I have, and the record that I have, can I be justified by this God? Can I feel right with him? Can I be safe with him? Can I have peace with him? For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps a good man, someone would dare even die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Justified by his blood. Now, to the one who works, his wages credit as favor, but as what is due. But the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. How does God justify the ungodly? It tells us here, doesn't it? Through his blood. Through his death on a cross. Somehow, the holy righteous judge justifies the ungodly. Let's learn how. Let's see what the gospel tells us. Let's look at how God justifies sinners. When you stand in the court of God, you are judged by the law of God. God's law is the standard by which God will either say to you, you are guilty, you have broken the law, and therefore you are condemned, or you are not guilty, you are righteous in all your ways, you have kept the law perfectly, you are declared justified. I think we all understand that, even in human terms, because that's how we judge, don't we? That's how our court systems work, right? If you are guilty, you pay a penalty. If you're not guilty, you're free. That's what it's like to be under law. To be justified, two things need to be found in you. First, there has to be no infraction. There has to be no sin, no transgression. If you obey, you live. If you disobey, you die. So if there's no disobedience, you're life. You're alive. You're free. But you also need righteousness. You have to prove that you obey the law. So there has to be no sin. And righteousness. You need no sin, and you need a righteousness. God tells us. This is what God says. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We are all declared ungodly and guilty. So how can God justify us? How can he declare us, declare that we are free and just and right with him? Well, we can learn how God does it through three men. Through three men. David, Abraham, and Jesus Christ. What can we learn from David? First, we can learn how God justifies the ungodly from King David. King David knew what it was like to sin before God. He committed adultery with a woman, and he had her husband killed, didn't he? Listen to David's words. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Wow. Sin that God will not take into account. Sin that is somehow covered. Sin that somehow gets erased out of your record. David said, blessed is the man, because David knew what it was to be a sinner, and he knew what it was like to stand before God, and he said, how blessed is the man whose sin the Lord God does not look at, he removes it, he covers it, he does not even consider it. What we learn is that when God justifies the ungodly, he does not take their sins into account. You and I have all sinned. Yet when God justifies us, he does not take our sin into account. But where, I ask you, where do our sins go? If he doesn't take them into account and they're real, where do they go? How can I stand before a holy God and a holy God says, you are not charged with sin. Your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been covered. I can't see them. Your sins are not to be taken into account. And I'm standing there, well, where did my sins go? Let's look at Abraham. What can we learn from godly Abraham? In Romans 4, 1 to 5, what shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. But to one who does not work, but believes in him who justified the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. You see, to be justified before God, we need righteousness. To be justified before God, first of all, we need no sin. And through the life of David, we see, somehow, in God's justifying the ungodly, their sins are removed. So there's no sin to take into account. But where do our sins go? Hang on. In Abraham, we know we need, in justification before God, we know we need perfect righteousness. In the life of Abraham, we learn that this righteousness is given as a gift. It's credited to his account through faith. God tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one, and yet Abraham was not righteous. In Abraham, we learn that righteousness we need in order to be justified must be a righteousness that is not our own. It's a gift righteousness. So I got my sins that I committed, and in God's justifying, my sins are gone. Where'd they go? I know I stand before God, I need righteousness, and God says, you have perfect righteousness. Where'd that come from? No sins and perfect righteousness, but I look at myself and go, I'm ungodly. I have sinned, and I have no righteousness. All of my righteousness is this filthy rag. Wow. Abraham was righteous by faith. He didn't depend upon himself, he depended on God. But where does this righteousness come from? Where did my sins go? Where did this righteousness come from? Now let's look at another man, Jesus Christ. We saw through David, God justifies the ungodly by not taking their sins into account. He forgives our sins, covers our sins, and does not see them. We saw through Abraham that God gives a gift of righteousness, a righteousness that is not our own, a righteousness that becomes ours through faith in God. But where did our sins go, and where does this righteousness come from? Lesson to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do you see it? You see your Christ? Our sin. He knew no sin, and yet, who knew no sin, God made him to be sin. That means our sins were given to him, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. This means that God imputed, God laid our sins on his sinless son. That's where your sins went. That's where they go when you, an ungodly person, are justified before a holy God. Your sins, God wipes from your slate. He takes them off of your record, and he puts them onto a record of a perfectly, and as us, his son, who has never sinned. Jesus was sinless, and yet God took the sin of sinners and imputed them to his son. He erased my record and added them to Christ's record. He who knew no sin was punished for sin. And you and I who have sinned are set free. Look what Peter said. He himself, Christ, in 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By your wounds, his wounds, you are healed. In justifying us, God does not charge us for our sins because Christ took our sins and died in our place because of them. You see, under law, sinners are punished. And under law, sin was punished. The holy judge punished your sins in Christ. Your record, your sin record has been deleted. Your sin imputed. Our sin were imputed to Christ. So the holy God did punish our sins. But he punished them on our substitute instead of us. But to be justified, we need perfect righteousness. We saw that through Abraham, that when God justifies sinners, he gives them a gift of perfect righteousness. That is not our own. Where did this righteousness come from? Look at Christ again. Romans 5:19. For as through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, even through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Through the obedience of the one, many are made righteous. Look at Philippians 3:8-9. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. In justifying the ungodly, God gives us the perfect righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. So in justification, God wipes our slate clean. All of our sins that were against us and that condemned us are removed from us, and they're imputed to Jesus Christ. We sing a song by Horatio Spafford. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. In justification, the righteousness that we need in order to be justified is imputed to us, it's laid to our account, and we sing about that as well. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb. Get this. My perfect spotless righteousness. The great unchangeable I am. The King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high. With Christ my Savior and my God. Romans 3:24. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The blood of Christ speaks to us. It speaks of being in the right with God. Right standing in this verse, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Right standing before God is offered as a gift, a free gift. Right standing with God is through his grace, his undeserved favor. Right standing with God is through faith and faith alone. And right standing with God is through the redemption, the blood of Christ. Zephaniah the prophet said this, "Shout for joy, O daughters of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughters of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken his judgment away from you." And that is what God speaks to us in the blood of his Son. The Lord has taken away his judgment from you. Has the blood of Christ spoken to you in that way? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, what can we say? We know what we deserve. And yet, Lord, being justified freely by grace, we know we are at peace with you, O God. We who have broken your laws, offended you in every way, yet you declare us in the right. You justify us, our God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, may we rejoice in that liberty, in that freedom. And Father, may it give us boldness and courage to persevere unto the end. In Jesus' name.